Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it is episode 185 and our Christmas special!
It's Christmas Day!
It's not Christmas Day.
Is it not quite, no?
No, but a couple of days until the Christmas.
But soon for the frivolity. And the cheese!
Oh, you're so excited about the cheese.
Mainly the cheese. It's all about the cheese, really.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, Nick, how are you in your beautiful new flat?
I'm fine. I have now finished work. I've got a whole 5 days off. I am very happy.
I'm very excited for you. That you're in your you're in your beautiful new flat. You get to just sit around drinking fizz and having cheese because you've seen your family.
I've done that. I've done Christmas. I've done the family shenanigans, and it was lovely as it was. I'm very much more looking forward to having a peaceful few days of arranging books and building Lego. It's going to be grand.
You do also have like a balcony of which you can open and then just go, "You there, boy, what day is it?" And then demand he bring you a goose.
Yes, and then I would end up with 20 gooses.
Geese, or, you know.
No, gooses. Definitely gooses.
Well, any Christmas poisonings this week?
We've advanced to Christmas poisonings.
Well, every year we do talk about the different Christmas poisonings there have been over the centuries.
Do we?
Well, poisonous things. We've covered that before.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember it very well.
Things like mistletoe.
Very poisony.
Poinsettias. Certain kinds of holly. The berries.
Berries, no one likes that. Yes. And also the leaves.
They're painful. Pointy, stabby,
pointy death. none of it being any fun. I mean, why is Christmas such a jolly time? It's just death at every corner.
Death stalks you at every turn.
Absolutely. It's a dangerous time. Framing Christmas puddings.
And things. That you lob at people.
That's just ready to explode at a moment's notice.
It's incendiary, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a dangerous time. Everyone should stay at home under a duvet.
Yes. And then poison yourself with cheese.
And cheese. Mainly cheese.
Has anyone died from cheese?
I think it'd be a lot of cheese.
I like that challenge.
Exactly. It's a good challenge to have.
Well, maybe we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah, the Christmas season is still young.
Flash forward to January in a very tragic funeral. Okay. He died doing what he loved. Eating cheese. Well, speaking of gorging yourself to death on cheese and then poisoning anyone who tries to come near you to take the cheese away.
Absolutely.
I think it is time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
Well, we certainly should. I'm sure they are all cheese fiends.
Sexy cheese fins.
Thank you very much to the incredibly cheesy Victoria Gzeb.
To Lauren.
To Candida Nord.
To Lily of the Valley.
To Spectral Lime.
Oh, wow.
This is very good.
To Cyanide Sweet Tooth.
Marvellous. And to Aline. Thank you so much.
You delicious, sexy,
cheese for you.
Such lovely Patreon subscribers. We had fun on Patreon this week.
Yes.
Yes, we told many a tale.
You got to remind me.
It was your story.
I know. Terrible.
We talked about Elmer McCurdy.
McCurdy.
The man who
took me a while to remember that.
The man who wanted to be famous for one thing ended up being famous for just being a corpse.
It's a good story. An interesting story. I liked it.
There was a lot of funny moments in
there. Yes.
That was a good one.
All fun and silliness.
Very importantly, this week, we have a lovely shout out from Mo Keller. Mo wants to do the shout out to her wonderful mom, Jen, and amazing stepdad, Noel. Happy 6th anniversary to the two of you. Wish you many, many more years together from Mo. We hope you're having a splendid anniversary. We hope you're having a lovely festive season, and we're very glad to do the shout out from your lovely Mo. Also over on Patreon, as we get closer to Christmas, there are some little ghost stories being released, which is a want. Yes.
No one's telling me about this. I haven't approved these things.
Well, you're not doing them. It's me.
I must have my Nick Gordon stamp of approval.
Nick, can I read out some MR James and or the Signal?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know.
I shall have to vet them first.
Or my various accents, of which there is one.
That's probably more the point.
Yes, but I have to do like a sort of generic man accent. Yep. And go, oh, I don't know.
Generic man.
Yes, is invariably from the West Country.
I feel I should direct you while recording.
I would welcome that.
More manly, come on, manlier. Too manly. Back it up.
Yes, there are Christmassy ghost stories going out on Patreon.
Glad to hear it.
And as we're on our Christmas break, there will be more content that we're releasing, like a little blooper reels that we love to give.
She's got loads of stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me none of it.
I just assure you that stuff is happening. And then you go, oh, okay.
That's what I am. My stuff's happening. Great. Sounds good. Do I have to do anything? No. Excellent.
That is my job.
I like it.
The podcast bitch. Or producer, as I put on LinkedIn.
Let's go with producer.
Brackets, but all of that is happening. I will say,
sounds great. I want to join.
I will say as an aside as well, I was reading one story, which I do hope to release, but at the time we're recording this, I'm sort of still editing it, going, it's one of my favourite M.R. James stories, but I was kind of reading it, and then I realised that most of the adaptations, when I've listened to it, they've cut bits out of it. There's a whole chunk where M.R. James sort of wrote in a ye olde way about something really scary. And I was reading going, oh, I'm not doing this well at all. I was confused while reading it aloud, and it really came across in the
edit. Yeah, that's not so good, really, is
it? The rest of it is brilliant. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I also gave a bishop a really Northern Irish accent.
Everyone else would have gone, oh, I mean, oh my God, that sounds so Northern Irish and not Southern Irish. What's going on there? It completely ruined the authenticity for me, I have to say.
When you do a Belfast accent for a bishop, and if you, usually when they're written in
as
these
I,
stories...
As I often do.
As you often do.
All those Belfast bishops I play.
When English people write about, like, oh, an Irish bishop, they kind of think of these from Dublin and they have a soft accent like that. But I fully went into, ah, sure, do you know what's at your window there? There.
I would have gone with half leprechaun. Is that not how Irish people speak?
Maybe I'll release the outtakes of that story of how it could have sounded, and then a much more mystical version of it. But all of this is yours to enjoy, people, if you join Patreon. I've set myself more work.
You really
now.
Have, yeah.
I really have.
While I'm eating cheese, cracking a whip, going, record faster. Nick needs his cheese.
If you do want to know what the hell we're talking about, please consider joining us on Patreon. Patreon is a wonderful place. You can join monthly. It's completely flexible. There's also annual subscriptions. So if you are looking for a last minute gift for someone or for yourself, treat yourself.
Best type of gift.
So go to patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet
if
you want to know more. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Apparently.
We are primed, ready, to drink Christmas cocktails and talk about Christmas poison.
Okay.
Or we could drink Christmas poison and talk about Christmas cocktails.
So many options.
So
which,
many.
Which one has Christmas?
I think all of them have a bit of Christmas.
Well, then hurrah.
You know what? There's a little bit of Christmas
which
in all of
cheese?
Us.
Which one has cheese?
I was so close to bringing you
cheesy
something.
Cheesy cocktail.
But I thought that would be cruel. Why don't we have fondue? Oh, next year. Fondue. The 12 cheeses of Christmas.
Like,
should we go with the first one?
Yeah, whatever that one. Let's do that.
Hooray. It is my story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. And this week's secret ingredient is Santa Claus. Old Saint Nick, Father Christmas, whatever you want, it's Santa.
It's Santa.
He's coming down your chimney.
Oh, good for him. See, this very nearly was just like a glass of brandy.
Really? Why?
Isn't that what you leave at the bottom of the the chimney oh, for Father Christmas.
Oh, did you leave out brandy? Well, yeah. We left out sherry.
Oh, okay.
And other people left out milk.
Was it not milk for the reindeer?
No, carrot for the reindeer.
Oh.
We left nothing for the reindeer when we were kids.
Oh, I think there was carrots. I'm sure it was brandy.
For the reindeer, too.
For the reindeer as well, yeah. That's why I see you get that really red nose.
From a lot Rudolph's of... outside, breaking a whiskey bottle, kind of going, Marbles!
There's a lot of brandy going on tonight.
I think we've talked about this before, about what we left out for Christmas. But what do you leave out for Santa?
I think it was brandy.
Did you leave out? Not now, sorry.
Yeah, not now. I have no chimney now, I can't.
Just leave the door open, hello.
Yes, leave the door open and a bottle of brandy outside. Yeah. And yes, everyone, come in, welcome.
Come in, la, la,
that, yeah, that way, scary things like. I'm sure it was a carrot and some brandy.
Did you have any other weird traditions for Christmas that you used to do?
I don't think overly weird. We used to do that thing where when you're opening your presents on Christmas morning, it was one at a time, strictly one at a time.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
which is nice. So you open your present and then you open it and think, oh, thank you very much, and then everyone in the room had to look at the present and things like that, and then the next person gets their present. So it takes 4 days when there's like 20 people in the room.
who the fuck was around your house?
Lots of family. And it used to take absolutely forever.
Oh.
But now it's just like, open presents!
Tear them apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were told that our presents would turn to coal if we went downstairs too early.
Oh, yes. We weren't allowed in the living room where our presents were. We weren't allowed in there until grown-ups were up. And yeah, you weren't allowed downstairs.
Ever. They were downstairs eating Christmas dinner and you're scratching at the door. Please!
Come in, please! No. Back to your coal.
And I'm sure I've said before, but yeah, my dad telling us that you had to go to sleep on Christmas night because Santa sends out a crow to watch you while you sleep.
Does he not?
My sister was traumatised by the idea of this crow looking in the window.
Yeah.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
Does Father Christmas have now in his army of crows?
But yeah, well, we're a very macabre family. You wonder why I'm fascinated with ravens and crows and stuff. Santa brings them.
Anyway.
With Father Christmas. Well,
with
not Father Christmas.
With
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
As your inspiration, your ingredient.
Mm.
What have you come up with?
That's probably a bit tricksy. This one, a bit tricksy. Because there's a lot of gimmicky cocktails, and I hate those greatly.
Yeah.
sort of, oh, Father Christmas is just like something red with a lot of whipped cream on top or something, that's meant to look like a beard or something.
Oh, I would have been very impressed if you'd done that.
No,
I would have been blown away.
So what we're having...
Okay.
We're having a Papa Noel.
Papa Noel?
Yes.
Oh, how French.
So I have to go French.
I love it. Okay, nice. I am excited for a Christmas cocktail, so I think it is high time for us to slip into the Poisonous Captain kitchen and shake up a storm, so we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick, the Papa Noel.
Papa Noel.
Papa Noel. Now, it looks very... Well, it doesn't look gimmicky.
No, indeed.
And... Credit you. Have you frosted a glass?
Oh, it's so nice having a freezer inside the house.
Oh, is this one of the joys of the new place?
I can put my glasses in the freezer. I don't have to traipse outside to get them.
Because that was such a chore.
It was very upsetting.
No, but now you can. Now you have an entire drawer for glasses.
Indeed, I do.
Do you have a fancy ice drawer?
Yes.
Full of rose petals.
No food in my freezer at all. No food in my flat at all at the moment.
I have seen your fridge. It's very much a single man's fridge.
It's not a good fridge. It's not a good fridge. And needs to be remedied pretty sharpish.
But this looks very beautiful. A lovely frosted chilled glass.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And it's an amber colour, I think? Kind of orangey?
Yes.
Well, let's dive in. Merry Christmas.
Actually, Happy Easter.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
There are things going on. It's nice. There are things that are happening in my mouth. Okay. Fruity. Fruity cold.
Oh, I like that.
Nick's happy.
Very pleasant. I like that a lot. It's very easy to drink, that one.
Oh, that is very nice. There is quite a bit going on there.
There is a lot going on there, yeah.
Oh, is there a lot?
There's a lot going on.
But it works.
But it works. One of those ones that more is more.
Right. Let's guess.
If you get any of these... I'll give you my flat. Actually,
really?
No, I won't actually do that.
Maraschino.
No.
Apricot brandy.
Nope.
Cherry brandy.
Nope.
Bourbon.
Nope.
What? Shut up. You're lying. Orange juice.
Nope.
Juice of some kind. No.
Of some kind, yeah.
Of some kind. Okay, a juice of some kind. Okay, we're narrowing it down, people. I'm the greatest detective that's ever lived. Lime juice? Lemon.
Yay.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Right, lemon. Is there anything fruity in this? Apart from the lemon. Right, there fruity. Is. Okay. Fuck. What are all the fruits? Again, what are all the fruits? Raspberry.
Nope.
Raspberry.
Nope.
Apple.
Nope.
Pears.
Nope.
Grapefruit.
Nope.
Orange. Orange. Nope. Orange.
You said orange already.
Did I say orange already?
Yep.
Lychee.
Nope.
Banana.
Yes.
Keys. Process of elimination.
I think you went through all the fruits in the world.
we got lemon and banana.
Lemon and banana.
Quite the Christmassy fruits. Fucking hell. What else is in whiskey?
No.
Brandy.
No.
Calvados?
Cognac.
Cognac, yeah. How much more? Angostura bitters, because I brought some.
Because you asked you to bring them, then yes, well done. Two other things.
Okay,
so I just put you out of your misery?
I don't know. How much more of this do you want to endure?
Yeah, no, not much. We have dry vermouth.
Oh, fuck off.
Then we have some honey syrup.
Oh, honey.
And then the lemon juice, banana, and Angostura.
Wow. Okay, the banana. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a huge amount. There's a quarter of an ounce in each.
And now all I taste is banana.
But yeah, exactly. So that bottle of banana that we bought 3 years ago, we'll never use this. It's slowly getting whittled down.
It is, because we discovered the banana Boulevardier. Mm. That is lovely.
Yeah, I'm really, really pleased with that.
Would never have guessed what's
in that. No, neither would I.
If because I clearly known, I didn't. If you need a
That's
recap,
true.
Didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, even now I can go, there's a hint of a bananiness. Mm. But then the banana liqueur isn't like a party cocktail.
No.
It's a very subtle banana. The subtle banana is the most banana-y of them all. How was this a Père Noël, though? Like, or Papa Noël?
I have no idea, actually. I have no idea. Is that cognac? Did the French kids give that to leave that for Father Christmas?
Do they?
I don't
people?
Know. So perhaps they leave cognac for Father Christmas and a banana for Rudolph.
Okay, it's got nothing to do with Father Christmas, but it's a lovely drink.
But it's a great drink.
Yay!
A great drink. Hurrah for that.
Oh, delicious. Now, this being Christmas, Nick.
Yes.
I have a sneaking suspicion there may be more drinks in the offing. And maybe I have a little drink up my sleeve.
This could go horribly wrong.
Unfortunately, it's not Fireball whiskey. Did try to find it. You're going,
No, I'm not.
Actually,
I'm not. I'm not upset by
face.
That at all. So.
I did try and find it in Canterbury.
Oh no, what a
shame. I know,
shame.
But I think we would have killed each other if we'd
Yeah, it would not have ended well.
Right, but we have our drinks.
Right.
Papa Noel is in hand.
Do you have a story?
Do you want a story?
I do.
Do you want a Christmassy story?
Is it Christmassy story?
It is a Christmassy story.
Okay.
So I went back and forth thinking about,
is it about
Christmas
children
stories?
In a pickle barrel?
Oh, God. Thank you to whoever put that
on
Instagram.
Because I want to know what the hell is going on there.
Only glanced at it briefly, did not read the whole story. Someone on Instagram wrote when we said Santa Claus, they went, is it about children in a pickle barrel? And we're like, with the what now?
Well, yeah, what's going on there? It should be.
And someone else replied going, that story. It's a legend associated with St. Nick. I believe. We will look into it. Maybe
perhaps it's a PC Morris.
Could be PC Morris. Yes. It seems very PC Morris.
Excellent. We shall watch and investigate later.
Looking back over the centuries, so we've covered different centuries at Christmas. We've done Tudor. We did Jack the Ripper. We did just a general story last year, and then we just had a bit of a chat. It was very nice.
Bit of a chat. Who doesn't love a bit of a chat?
But this time, Christmas.
This Christmas.
We're coming into the 20th century.
We are very much in the 20th century, if not the 21st.
That's why I meant.
Oh, right, okay, the story.
The story,
Not us now.
No.
Okay.
The story
I'm glad you clarified
is in
that.
The 20th century. Do you know where you are?
I don't know.
We have a Christmas crime indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this crime involved the largest manhunt in Texan history.
Oh.
So we are in America.
Okay.
It was called the most spectacular crime in the history of the Southwest, surpassing any in which Billy the Kid... all the James brothers had ever figured.
Oh, uh-huh. It's supposed to be good.
Yeah. Because did you know, Nick?
No.
Santa Claus was a thief.
Has he come into town?
He came to town.
And he robbed it.
And he robbed it.
But.
He was a common thief. Santa Claus was a bank robber.
Okay.
Not just any bank robber. The most crazy bank robber of all time.
Of course he was.
This is the story of how Santa Claus... robbed a bank, and the ensuing mania that followed.
Okay.
Credit to the beautiful people who suggested this story. Absolutely crazy story, but we could only be told at Christmas time.
I'm intrigued.
So, it is the 23rd of December, Nick.
Nice.
1927.
Okay.
And we are in Cisco, Texas. So Cisco is a thriving town at the time. Shiny railroad, plenty of oil, nice fancy goods stores.
Oh, who doesn't have a fancy goods store?
More than one.
My God, that's desperately fancy.
I mean, it's 1927, so by now there's just stores. But they were very famously, there was a milliner's and a fancy goods store that opened up in the 1800s.
I think I might have to open a fancy goods store.
I think you should.
I mean, it's just a great name for a shop, just the fancy goods store.
And also, if it is by Nick Gordon, everyone will come. He will have the fanciest
things. He will have the fanciest for things.
The town has put up its decorations. Everyone is in the spirit of the festive season. But there is but 2 days until Christmas.
But 2 days.
They're shopping. They're running errands. The kids are now off school as well. And so they're out with their parents. And everyone's greeting each other. Oh, my God. And who walks down the street but Santa?
Oh, how lovely.
Santa Claus is walking down the street. And the children are pointing. And the parents are smiling. Oh, a nice man is dressed up as Santa. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And the children are like, Santa Claus, running down the street. Sure, his suit doesn't quite fit him.
Mm.
It's a little bit loose and he's skinny, really, for Santa.
Well, I mean, it's a busy time. It's a busy time. He's a lot of running around, so he's gonna shed a few pounds during that busy, busy time.
Santa Claus has errands to run.
Exactly. He's got a lot of stuff to be going on with.
He has a lot to be getting on with. So, yes, of course. Okay, maybe he doesn't look quite as jolly and as JP as Santa Claus might be. And maybe you can see his work clothes under the Santa suit and it's fine.
His workshop overalls where he is supervising the making of the toys.
Indeed. So. Yes. And it's cheap material. The elves haven't been working hard enough on his outfit, clearly. It's all like it's a bit lopsided, but okay, fine. You know, we'll just skip over that. And but he has his festive burlap sack.
Well, nice.
That reads Idaho potatoes. Okay, but still Santa.
Perhaps
Santa.
He's delivering to someone who asked for Idaho potatoes on their Christmas list.
Hello, Potato Man.
Hello,
Where have you been?
Potato Man. You ask for potatoes, I bring you potatoes.
But the children run towards him, and he stops and talks to the children. I mean, he's very much trying to make his way down the street, but the children will not leave Santa alone. Like, Santa. And they're talking to him saying, Santa, I've sent you my list. And one boy, a little boy named Bill, says, I want to be a footballer, and I would like a football for Christmas, and there's a football in that shop window right there. Can I have it, Santa? And he's like, you need to ask your parents. I'm kind of busy right now. Got a few errands to run, but you talk to your parents and I will make sure that I bring you the football on whatever day I bring stuff to you. Like, yeah. And he's just trying to guide the crowd because he's on his way.
Mm.
And he's on his way to the First National Bank.
Mm.
And they're all got their hands out. The kids are sort of like, well, come on, sweetie, your gifts. Santas who walk around and like spreading good cheer at this time of year usually have a little, you know, peppermint for the children. Or they'll have a tin and say, can I have a collection from the parents? And he has none of those. So the children are getting a bit disappointed and going, but there should be a gift, surely. Family's coming up and going, well, where do I put my penny? He's like, no,
that's fine.
Okay. Santa scuppers into the bank and all the parents are like, well, okay. Santa has errands to run, Santa's clearly. Yes.
He's got business to attend to.
Yes, he's a busy man. Santa removes himself from the small flock of children to many disappointed, and goes into the bank. There are only a couple of customers in the bank that day. It's quite quiet. The run-up to Christmas is around lunchtime. There's two bank employees as well behind the desks. Upon entering, one teller looks up and goes, hello, Santa. Hello. Santa doesn't say anything.
No.
He's like, okay. Santa goes up to the desk and the person's like, hello, Santa. And he's just not responding. At the same time, when Santa's come in, three other men have walked into the bank, and also a woman, great name here, Mrs. B.P. Blassingame.
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 Excellent name.
She's not so much walking into the building as being pulled in by her six-year-old daughter, who's just going, Santa! Saw Santa going in. She wants to see Santa. She's like, okay, oh my God, drags in. Santa's at the desk. He's like, well, wait for Santa to finish his checking.
Banking,
yes. Delivering all his stuff. Meantime, the teller is at the desk, looks down. Santa is holding a gun.
Naughty Santa.
Peering behind him, the teller sees the other men who have entered the bank. They're also holding guns.
Please say they're dressed as elves.
I wrote so much about them being elves. They are not dressed as elves.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
I'm so sorry.
Really miss a trick on that one.
We will refer to them as elves from here on in. They could have just had little floppy hats. But no, it's only the one guy who is firmly in disguise and is indistinguishable from Santa Claus, apparently. Then the cry comes, hands up, this is a robbery. Santa has indeed fallen on hard times this Christmas, Nick, for he is robbing the First National Bank. Because no one thinks about how hard it is for Santa at this time of year.
It's a busy time. It's expensive. He does.
Yeah, he's got reindeer food. He's got sleigh maintenance. Those elves have very expensive tastes.
Oh, absolutely.
They're dressed in the finest of silks. The wrapping paper budget is astronomical.
It is mad.
So, I'm going to break it to you, Nick.
Yeah.
It's not the real Santa.
My God.
It's not. It's not Santa.
Oh, that's
Santa
upsetting.
Is safely in the North
Pole. He's having a grand old time, completely oblivious to the whole imposter situation.
Well, his good name is being dragged through the mud.
Well, this is true.
Yes. But the man dressed up is Marshall Ratliff.
It's not Santa at all.
No, not Santa at all. No, Marshall Ratliff. And he has his elves in the background. Now, who is Marshall Ratliff? Marshall Ratliff was 24 years old at the time of this robbery and already had quite a list of crimes under his belt beforehand and a jail sentence.
Nice.
A local man. He knows the area well, and he's known to the area, maybe hence the beard.
Mm.
He'd grown up working in the fields, had a very doting mother, apparently, who fussed over him greatly. But then he decided that backbreaking labour really wasn't the career he wanted to be in.
Fair.
He and his brother Lee decided they were going to branch out into illegal activities, and they took to bootlegging.
Nice.
Yep,
okay.
Because we'll go with prohibition.
That. We saw prohibition, yeah.
Yep, so they decided to try their hand at bootlegging, and they were doing quite well. Then they made the foolish mistake of trying to commit bank robbery. They tried to rob a bank elsewhere in Texas, in Valeria, which sounds very Game of Thrones.
It does, yes.
Valera. So I've added an
you
I
had
in there.
An I in there.
Valeria. The Valerian hordes. Valera. Valera, Texas. Less dragony.
Less That's dragony. Less dragony, which is upsetting.
Excuse me to all Texans out there. But they had tried to rob this bank. It had been unsuccessful.
That's because of the dragons.
Because
what do you expect?
Open the safe
bank
door.
Guarded by dragons.
Smaug is just sitting there going, yes, I have become death. That's not what he says.
No,
it?
That's Oppenheimer.
Oh, no, that's Oppenheimer. What is it? Well, no, what is it that Smaug says when he's flying over things? I am, but I am death, I am shadow or something.
Something like that. He's not from Valyria either.
Smaug is not there. It's a shit dragon. Oppenheimer's in the background. Anyway, that went wrong because of all the dragons.
Because of all that dragon
and the dragons snitched on him, gave a wonderful description of the two robbers, and they end up being sentenced to 18 years in jail.
It seems entirely fair.
Yes, but this is only a couple of years earlier.
Right, so not 18 years.
They were sentenced to 18 years in prison, but they served just two because they were pardoned by the governor at the time, Miriam Ferguson. And this was one of the string of pardonings that happened for criminals who absolutely committed the crimes at this time. There was around 3,595 crimes that were pardoned by this governor. And people go, money was exchanged, money changed hands. So they think that Mummy...
Oh, she was on the take.
...of the Ratliff brothers went, take some money. And it was open. They were like, yeah, fine. Okay, fine. Off you go. Once released, Ratliff... definitely going to go down the straight and narrow.
Of course.
Going to clean up his act.
Absolutely.
Back to honest life. No, no, no. Immediately begins planning his next heist. What better place to rob than his own hometown?
I mean, of course.
Yeah. Ratliff had assembled a team based in a town about 150 miles outside of Cisco. He enlisted the help of Henry Helms and Robert Hill, both crooks, experienced-ish bank robbers, people he'd met while committing crimes, but also in jail as well. So experienced, not successful, again, but...
yes,
yeah,
but well-practiced.
Well, I think it's implied that the two other men were more experienced criminals and were one of... It was one of many jail stints they did. Mm. But Ratliff sort of spins a good yarn of like, no, we're going to commit this bank robbery and I'm going to run it all. So they ended up staying in a boarding house in Wichita Falls. A very helpful landlady ran that place, Midge, who allegedly just didn't mind at all that her place was overrun by ex-convicts and
nice.
Stuff. Welcomed them in, gave them, went and got all their supplies from the local shop and everything. And didn't really like get involved and wanted payment. Just seemed to be just happily knitting away their balaclavas and like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. Now, Ratcliffe said he was familiar with the layout of the First National Bank and he could work out the escape routes. He was very confident in robbing this place. He knew it. it was going to be an easy job. He was certain they would walk away with tens of thousands of dollars.
Wrong.
A quick stick-em-up job. They wouldn't have to shoot anyone. They wouldn't have to hurt anyone. Just the presence alone around Christmas time with the guns, it would be enough. Scare people, get the money, and go. Now, they needed a potential safecracker to complete the job. Their first choice was ill with the flu when the job came around.
Oh, that's less good.
Yes. Elms, one of the other men, suggested an old contact and his relative, Louis Davis. Now, Louis got involved, or Davis, I'm going to call him, got involved because he'd fallen on really hard times.
Hmm.
He was not a criminal.
Desperate.
He needed to provide for his family. Times are tough in 1927.
Such is the way of things. That's how often these things start out.
And he agreed to the job. He agreed to the job. So whether his background was in engineering or whatever it was, he agreed to come along and lend his expertise. I don't know if any questions were asked at this point in the planning that Ratliff had just been sentenced to 18 years in prison for a robbery. It was like, you didn't do that well.
Yes, you weren't obviously that good.
But no, all four men ended up thinking this plan could not fail. This is also a time, though, bank robberies happen 3 or 4 times a day in Texas.
Yeah.
So regularly that it's sort of unbelievable now. Just people come in, hello, it's a robbery. Okay, here's the money. Hello, it's a robbery. It's the money. It's like, okay, that's 3 before lunch. This is genuinely how often the robberies take place because the Texan Bankers Association take the bold step of saying, we're going to offer a $5,000 reward for any dead bank robbers.
Ooh.
Now, $5,000 is $85,000 today.
A lot of money.
Probably more now, actually. Mm. So it's a huge amount of money at a desperate time. Mm. You know, we're not far off from the Great Depression. So things are going downhill.
Yeah, things aren't looking good.
They're not looking good. And no one can drink as well. So bank robberies are happening all this time. And they are saying specifically for a dead bank robber. Alive, not a cent.
Mm.
We will give you nothing for that. So everyone is like, ha, 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 ha.
Well, alive, you've got to put them in, you've got to send them to trial and court and keep them in prison, and it all costs money.
Is it a sort of deterrent? Is this a measure to go, if you even try this, people will shoot you dead? We don't care. This feeling is out there. A good time to be a bank robber because people are robbing all the time, but dangerous now. But the only problem for Ratliff was that he felt he may be recognised when he went back to Cisco because a few people might recognise his face. So he decides, we'll do this in December and I'll dress up as Santa Claus.
I mean, why December? I mean, he could have done, we do it at Easter and I'll dress up as a bunny. we'll do it at Halloween, I'll dress up as a zombie. I mean,
A pumpkin. Hello.
There are many, many, many options,
I feel. The thing is, zombies have to shuffle.
Yeah.
The Easter bunny has to hop. Pumpkin's the access through the doorway. Santa, jolly, and he has things to do.
Yeah, but
he's
also
definitely got a deadline, hasn't he? Well, the kids follow after him. Yeah. So he says, yeah, if I dress up as Santa, because we're going to do this around December, no one's going to question Santa walking down the street.
Well,
no one's going to bother you. No one's going to notice or go, oh, there was a shifty man, a skinny man walking down the street. Then all they're going to say is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So it's a great deterrent. Midge, the boarding house owner, happens to be making a Santa outfit.
That just happens to be.
Happens to be, apparently. And he goes, can I borrow this? And he's like, of course, yes. Take my Santa outfit. Is there anything bad you're going to do with this? It's like, no. We're just going to use it for him.
Just some jolly larks.
Jolly larks. The quartet sourced their getaway vehicle, a Buick that they just stole from a street.
Nice.
The keys were inside.
Sourced is a strong word, I feel.
They went 2 streets over. They found a car with the keys in the ignition and took it. And they set off the 150 miles from Wichita Falls to Cisco on the morning of the 23rd of December. Now we are back in the bank.
Okay.
Where the heist is taking place.
How exciting.
Where we have left it. So Santa, i.e. Ratliff, and his helpers are holding up the bank at gunpoint. The customers and the woman who's walked in, Mrs. Blessingame, and her young daughter are terrified. Okay, right. This is serious now. Santa demands to be taken to the safe. He starts filling his sack. Way. His burlap sack. His Idaho potato sack.
Yes.
With banknotes, bonds, securities, anything he can get. And then he tells them to open the vault. In the foyer, six-year-old Frances, who is Mrs. Blassingame's daughter, is now having her illusions and her childhood shattered before her eyes.
Yes.
Santa is robbing people and pointing guns, saying, why is Santa screaming, Mommy? But Mrs. Blassingame is having none of this. Mm. She is...
She pulls out a shotgun.
She is going to get her child out of there. Mm. She backs up into the bookkeeping office, and this is where the door to the alleyway is. She knows it. Ratliff knows it as well. But she backs up in there, and she gets to the door, and she makes a break for it. And the other robbers are shouting at her to stop. They're not going to open fire. She runs into the alleyway, grabs her daughter, runs off down the street. And she is running all the way to the police department, shouting, they're robbing the bank, they're robbing the bank. You know, hightails it to the department, shouting, Santa's robbing the bank! And everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with her? She runs and runs and runs. She gets to the police station. She gets the attention of Police Chief G.E. Bit Bedford. Bit is his nickname.
Okay.
Mm, yeah, he's apparently a giant of a man.
Ooh.
Old school cop. You can go to picture him as an old Texan lawman. He's like, robbery at the old bank. Okay. So immediately grabs a riot gun, so that's non-lethal, takes his two deputies and makes his way to the bank. Inside the bank, one of the robbers notices people peering in the window. He's like, hey,
we've got an audience here.
Well, maybe I should fire a warning shot. I'm going to fire a shot at the ceiling to show them that we've got guns. Fires a warning shot. They are returned with a hail of bullets into the bank. Everyone outside has heard Mrs. Blassingame running down the street going, Santa's robbing the bank. They have run into every hardware store there is, gotten every gun possible, and have now just started shooting at the bank willy-nilly.
Nice.
They're like, there are hostages. There are hostages.
But there's also 85 grand for each one of these bastards.
Exactly. The equivalent of, they're just like, absolute hail of bullets. They're like, shitting shit. And the robbers did not anticipate any of this.
No.
They thought, quick job. Everyone would be so scared. But everyone's on the street going, we've all had a few Christmas tequilas.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Wheel out the cannon.
We're feeling frisky. The whole town is there. They will not allow Christmas to be ruined. The robbers have their loot, but their plans for a quick exit are now completely screwed because everyone is outside and they've got guns. So they gather the customers and the staff and they're going to use them as hostages.
Yeah.
There's also two young girls amongst the customers, quite young, and they're going to use them as human shields.
Oh, that's nice. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. They feel they have no choice, but they just go, oh no, the children will do that. They go into the
bookkeeping
room.
They do have a choice, I feel.
They absolutely do.
They do have a choice.
They go into the alleyway to get to the getaway car. They go in there. The crowd starts firing. Again, not really noticing the girls. The girls are fine.
That's fine.
But yeah, one hostage is hit. The robbers like get bullets and they return fire and they hit civilians. So everyone's just going, way, firing guns. The police are kind of screaming at the public, stop firing. Let us handle this. In the hail of bullets, the two girls are shoved into a getaway car. The three men climb in. Davis, the safecracker, the family man, has been hit very badly by a shotgun, but he makes it into the Buick. He makes it in there. Police Chief Bit, I'm just going to call him Bit, stands in the road commanding them to stop. The robbers lean out of the car and pummel him with bullets.
Oh, God.
It's not great. Him and another police officer are hit many times. They're trying to stand their ground and say no. They just fire at him. Him and the police officer would die from their wounds later. So the car screams out of the alleyway. The men inside have planned ahead. They throw out roofing nails behind them to stop any cars chasing after them.
Yep. Tires, yeah.
To try and do the tires.
Cunning.
But they've done it. They've got the two hostages. They've got one of their men who is seriously injured, but they are making their way down the road. They are going to escape. They have robbed the bank. They look at the fuel gauge. Did anyone think to put fuel in this Buick? Because it's nearly empty.
It's nearly empty.
These boys need to change vehicles.
Oh.
And fast. Speaking of changing things and refueling, is it time for another drink?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, good.
Definitely.
Shall we hurl ourselves into the poisonous captain kitchen?
Hurl ourselves.
And shake up another Christmassy storm?
Let's do that.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We do.
So we have a second Christmassy drink.
We do.
What do you call this one?
This one is a Christmas margarita.
Christmas margarita?
Yes.
Ooh.
Know how partial you are to a marg?
I am partial to the margs.
Yeah, so this is a Christmassy variant.
Christmassy twist. Okay, yeah. Well, it's very pink, though, for yes. A margarita. Ooh, I like it. Party season.
Party margaritas.
Party margaritas. This bodes well. All right, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Well, that's just delightful.
Mm.
Oh, that's good.
That's
a good margarita, but it's not as sharp, actually.
Mm.
Well, no, it's sharp, but it's not as acidic as some of the ones I make. Clearly, I want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's that makes that Christmassy?
There are two things in there that you wouldn't ordinarily have in a margarita.
But it's got to be Christmassy. Mm. What's Christmassy? Cranberries.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
There's some cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice.
Yep.
And the magic of Christmas?
No.
Is that another? No. Sparkles and reindeer dust. Reindeer dust? Reindeer what am dust? I Yes, I know. I don't know what that was. Reindeer dust. I just was picturing like they shake it off their fur and it goes in your drink. Like, right. Magic.
Or the dust of decomposed reindeers. Ground the bones.
No, I was picturing like sparkle dust, like right. When they're dancing across the night sky.
Yes, of course you were.
You were picturing dead reindeer lined up.
It's taken a step further than I thought, but okay.
Okay. Well, what else is in it then?
There is some falernum.
Who and the what now?
The falernum.
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 Explain.
You've had the falernum. It is a Caribbean, sort of Jamaican liqueur. It's made of sugarcane, but it's in, sort of infused with sort of cinnamon and clove and things like that. Christmassy sort of, those sort of spices to it. So there's that in there as well. And there's also a mince pie on the side.
Aww.
Because I like mince pies.
We love a mince pie.
So I'm going to eat a mince pie while you talk. Ah, that's crumbly.
That's crumbly. Actually, I'm going to take a little bite. I'm only going to have one bite. Crumbly.
It's very crumbly.
Bit too much pastry to mince ratio, I feel.
Well, I don't know. Can you ever have too much pastry?
But I like the mince pie filling. Moving on. Right. So the chaps have run out of fuel.
Yes, they have.
At the getaway car. Cut to a lovely Oldsmobile driving merrily down the road. merrily down the road of Cisco, 14-year-old Woody Harris is driving the family car.
Aww.
First time he's been allowed to drive the car.
Oh, that's not going to end well.
They're going to all go out for their Christmas shopping for the day. Mother and father in the car. Grandmother's in there too. Oh. You're doing so well, Woody. What a lovely drive this is. Merry Christmas to all.
Then it's Christmas, he's not going to forget.
Then Santa jumps out in front of the car with a gun and they're going, ah, pulling the car over while Santa brandishes a gun, then wetting themselves and crying. The robbers all jump out, force the car to stop. Everyone, the family, falls out, running away as far as they can. The crew are like, okay, fine, we have a new car. Right, transfer all the money, the hostages, Davis, he's not good. Yep, he's not good. Wounded. Get everything into the car. A sort of farcical thing of like, you take the bad and you put it in there, and you take the hostage and you put it in there, and you put the person in there. Okay, let's get in there. Right, everyone's in here. Okay, right, let's go. Who has the keys? Did no one think to get the keys off the family that just ran away?
Brilliant.
The 14-year-old boy who, for the first time driving, had the sense to grab the keys from the ignition and run far away.
Like it. Nicely done, sir.
But all these robbers dressed in a Santa outfit still, and his elves and hostages and money just like, fuck. They have no choice but to get back into the Buick, which has very little fuel. You know, they stopped it before it ran out of fuel, thinking we have to change. And they go, okay, load everything back in there. Load all the hostages back in there. Take David. Oh, okay, so, you know. And then they get to the point where they know the mob is around the corner.
Yeah.
They know the mob is around the corner. They have to leave Davis. They have to leave him. He's not going to make it.
Yeah.
He's not in a good way. They just get in the car and they drive off with the two little girls still as hostages. The mob close in around this abandoned vehicle and they find Davis, who is not good. He's taken to hospital. When he's taken to hospital, he's placed on a ground floor room with a window so everyone can gawk at him.
Oh, God.
Because the news of this robbery is spreading
I'm sure it's quite well known by now.
Santa Claus has robbed a bank at Christmas. And also everyone's very interested. Bank robbers really on the loose, and there's a massive reward out for a dead bank robber. So people are just aiming guns and catapults and stuff through the window at Davis. He really doesn't have long. Was admitted to hospital. He would die on Christmas Day.
Oh, and he was just doing it because he was desperate for his family. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. He doesn't give up his accomplices, but he dies on Christmas Day, having really not wanted to be involved in this at all. The remaining trio have driven into the back roads, and then they have gone into scrubland. They have gone into the wilderness. They have gone as far as they can go into scrubland, under sort of like oaks and scrub oaks and cacti and everything. They decide to stop. They're going to make their way on foot, the robbers. They grab a bag of ammunition from the back. They decide, okay, the girls, we can't take them with us. This is we don't want this on our hands. They tell them, lie down in the back seat. You do not see where we are going. And they're like, yep, yeah, absolutely fine. We're okay with that. Okay. Right. Someone grab the loot. Where is all the money that we stole? It's not there. Why isn't it there? Between them, they manage to surmise that someone put it in the Oldsmobile and then didn't put it back in the other car.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
So all of the money that they took is now sitting in the hands of the mob that was chasing them. Whether this was a genuine bungle or a decision at the time when they were trying to transfer cars and they saw the mob coming out, there's sort of discrepancies between, like, was the mob coming around the corner and they were like, get in the fucking car, we don't have a chance, or whether they actually forgot about it is sort of debatable, but they've got nothing. They've got nothing now. Wounded and tired, the trio limp off into the scrubland. Ratliff is still wearing his Santa suit.
Quite visible, one imagines. It's not exactly camo, is it?
Back in town, the mob count through the loot. $12,400 in cash. $150,000 in securities.
Ow.
Would have been the biggest ever heist in history of Texas had they actually kept it.
Had they not forgotten about it.
But they had nothing. It's a little bit of shades of Patreon here, actually. Our Patreon episode where we had Elmer trying to rob things and he bungled it,
so massively.
And you're walking away with $40 from a train robbery. But now they have a manhunt on their hands. They will catch these fiends. So the sheriff, he and his men head out to find these criminals, along with most of the town.
Yeah.
So you've got the officers and you've got vigilantes who are on horseback roaming through the scrub, trying to form gangs, trying to find these people, because they're probably motivated by the money, no, by the idea of the money. They search every inch of land that they can for traces of them, firing guns until the police stop them and go, that's not going to help. They will know you're coming.
Stop firing guns.
They're down tills in the evening of the 23rd. You know, we'll chase them right after happy hour. They resume search. Everyone is out on Christmas Eve on the 24th. You know, can't buy all those presents. Sorry, can't do all those chores that we want to do. Can't stuff the turkey. I've got to go and hunt down these criminals. This is the first time a plane is used to search for the criminals.
Oh, nice.
In a case of a bank robbery. So a little biplane is used to search the area. The police want these men in custody, but the public really don't want to turn down $5,000. Mm. It's an incentive, the dead bank robber reward that they want to get hold of. Also, there are a lot of children who now need counselling.
Yeah, there is that, yeah.
Because it's all people are talking about, yeah. And the people are calling it, and all the press and all the media are calling it Santa Claus, the Santa Claus robbery. This is what this is called, the Santa Claus robbery. And children are like, Santa?
Santa?
Why?
What have you done, Santa?
Why did Santa kill all those people? Because Santa has killed people, and everyone wants to get Santa. And there are children crying, and everyone is trying to gently explain to them, it's not the real Santa. But then who is the real Santa? It's like, well, he would... Just never mind.
One of Santa's helpers.
Have a sweetie. Yeah.
Have some whiskey.
Yeah. As well as that, there's varying reports, and these are to be taken with a pinch of salt. However, I think they are grounded in fact. At this time of year, someone dressed up genuinely as Santa walks into a public place collecting for the poor. People start screaming. There's one account of Santa Claus walking into a church.
I'm just getting
like,
shot.
Hello, collecting for the poor. And everyone absolutely loses their shit and goes, are you the robber? Are you trying to kill my children? They're like, I'm literally collecting for the poor. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. That's not going to be good, is it?
People, whatever they will do to get away from Santa Claus. So children are frightened as well, because even if they're not involved in this crime, they see Santa Claus as a figure of fear and terror, and everyone wanting to beat the shit out of Santa. So, yeah, apologies to any of the families who were adversely affected by this, and for whom Christmas is not a good time. Kid who wanted a football, he's rocking back and forth in a room somewhere. In the meantime, the trio of crooks have been hiding in the scrubland while the mob searched around them. They snuck back into town, they stole another car, they headed off in that car, crashed the car a few miles down the road.
They're not doing well, are they?
They're not good.
They're not good.
Things. They hijack another car and its driver on Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, this driver is called Carl Wiley. Now, they hijack it. The details are a little bit scant, but they hijack it in the presence of Carl's father. So they get the car. Carl is in the car and he is held hostage for the best part of 24 hours. But his father is on the street. So they take the car and they drive off, and his father is firing a gun at the car.
With his son in.
Yeah, it hits Carl. I like to think that's a passive-aggressive bit from the dad about, like, yeah. This will teach you to get me slipper socks for Christmas.
Absolutely, yes.
You bastard. I've always wanted to do this. He was fine, though. Like, Carl is injured, but it's not a heavy injury. Mm. The robbers spend Christmas night hiding in wilderness. And all they have to eat are oranges. They give none to Carl, who's the hostage. No, these are my oranges.
Merry
Christmas to you, then. Everyone's having a bad Christmas.
Yeah.
But they're tired now. The robbers, they're injured. They're hungry. It's cold out. It's cold in Texas at Christmas. It's not great. They get a new vehicle. Carl is let go. Carl alerts the authorities.
Mm.
He manages to tell the police the direction the men are going in so they can set up a sting operation. And sure enough, on Boxing Day, the bandits set out to cross the Brazen River in the stolen car. They encounter a roadblock on the way. They're surrounded. So they end up fleeing the vehicle and trying to get away on foot, running into an oil field at this time. Now, at this point, a Texan ranger.
Nice.
A deputy sheriff as well, by the name of Cy Bradford, has joined the hunt. And this is a guy you can imagine getting out of a car wearing probably three pairs of aviator shades. He's that cool. And he is known for being able to track criminals.
I'm sure he was on horseback, surely.
No. He didn't need a horse. He was known for being a crack shot and for being an excellent marksman. And he apparently, the way it is written, the way he told it, is he pretty much sort of, everyone else is like chasing after these men. He is just slowly getting out of a vehicle or off a horse or off a woman, whatever you want to describe it as. Just like,
is that cool?
Is that cool? Stay there, love. Yeah, yeah. Smoking a cigarette. Takes off his glasses. Takes out Old Betsy, which is the name of his shotgun. It's a double-barreled shotgun that doesn't have a huge range, but still.
Yeah.
Stands there.
You don't really need a particular accuracy with a shotgun, do you?
No.
Just somewhere in that general direction.
Just in the general direction. Well, the way he'd have it is like it's a high-powered sniper rifle. Stands there, takes one shot, one robber goes down.
Yeah.
The other one. He doesn't fire the second shot from a double-barreled shotgun because he wants to make sure that he has enough shot in case they turn around. He has time to pause and reload after one shot. Fires it, second guy goes down. Guy is injured. And then the third shot, he's probably not even looking at this point. He's just chatting up all the time.
He's like doing it backwards over his shoulder.
He's eating a mince pie. Yeah,
exactly. Shaking up a margarita on
he's
the side.
Basting a turkey. Just sort of fires a shot. The third man is hit. Now, only one man goes down, though. That's the thing. That's the way he tells it. And it is Santa Claus. Santa Claus has been brought down. Ratliff himself falls to the ground. The other two men are injured, but they stagger off. They want to try and head into the river, and they do successfully. Ratliff is taken into custody. Now, these men do not last long. A posse of 100 men have been hired to hunt the remaining guys.
Yeah.
It's about 2 or 3 days later that the two other men are caught, and they are so tired. They're like, they don't even
And then
fight.
Just ripped to pieces.
No, they're brought in. They're brought in to jail, but they are so knackered. They're like, No, it's absolutely fine. I'll give up. This manhunt for these three men is over. Now comes what will happen to them, their justice. During the manhunt, two men who were on the manhunt injured themselves by discharging their own weapons in their own faces. Now, maybe not in their faces, but they discharged their weapons and they sustained
and they
an injury.
Injured
so
themselves,
they yes. kind of get lodged in the kind of how many injuries were they? Well, the people who shot themselves.
Okay, nice.
But now we come to the trials. Now, there's no doubt that these men are all guilty. Everyone's seen them.
Yeah, well, indeed.
Everyone's seen them and everyone's going, well. But the police have managed to get hold of them, not the mob. Mm. Not the mob seeking that $5,000 sweet, sweet money. What's the sentencing going to be? Now, Ratliff, Santa, he was sentenced to life imprisonment for armed robbery on the 27th of January, 1928. But he also stood trial for contribution to the deaths of the two police officers in the alleyway. And for that, he was given the death penalty for his part in the death of Bit Bedford. Helm was identified as the man who did fire on the two police officers in the alleyway. And he was given the death penalty. Yeah. Hill's attorney went all out to portray him as a poor orphaned boy. Sad foster home. He just absolutely played the sob story well out, that this was a man who had strayed from the path. He didn't deserve the death penalty. He definitely deserved his time in prison. He should be punished, but he was remorseful. And they go, okay, life in prison.
Yeah.
Helms is going, what? What happened there? Helms has gotten the death penalty going, I'm a pastor son. Why didn't I say that more? So while on death row, Helms started feigning insanity. He was going, let's go insanity plea. Let's absolutely go insanity plea to escape the chair. Whatever he did was not enough.
Mm.
It wasn't good enough. Crazy.
Pants on the head, pencils up the nose.
Pencils up the nose. And just go, wibble.
Wibble.
No, didn't work. His appeals failed. He was allegedly dragged, kicking and screaming, to Old Sparky on the 6th of September, 1929. Hill, who had escaped the chair, thanks to his lawyer spinning a sob story for him, swore he would be a good prisoner during his 99-year jail term. He escaped prison 3 times.
Oh, brilliant. Well done him. Yeah. Excellent model prisoner.
Including one case where he did fully tunnel out of prison.
Nice.
With the help of others. They were just digging
and
under the
spoons.
Walls. And some spoons. Spent 18 months on the run and then he was caught again going, oh, all right, all right. He was eventually given a conditional pardon in 1945. Again, why we don't know. There's no record of why. It was just like, yeah, fuck it, let's
why
give people
not?
Some pardons. But when he was released, apparently he did live the rest of his life as a model citizen. He turned his life around. He got a good job. He married. He joined the church and did not get into trouble again. So he'd learned his lesson.
Hmm?
But what of Santa Claus
himself?
Of Ratcliffe? What do you think happened? So well, he's been sentenced from prison.
Yeah.
And he's been sentenced to
death. Sentenced to death. Well, I don't know. He wasn't the one who pulled the shot, the gun, fired the shot, was he?
He appealed.
Yeah.
Not really showing remorse for his actions, but he's going to appeal. Of course he is. The public are very angry about this.
Well, this is true. He has betrayed Santa Claus.
He has betrayed Santa Claus, and they just feel very, very strongly about this crime. He received a phonograph from his mother, doting mother, and gospel records that he used to play in his cell. And apparently, because he was on death row, he was obviously in the vicinity of people doing their death walk, their final walk. He would play "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder" every time a man was taking his final steps.
Okay.
He's like, thanks for that, mate. No worries.
Yeah, cheers.
He didn't do it when Helms walked. To old Sparky, he didn't do that. But as soon as Helms was executed, he started feigning insanity. Right, insanity plea, that's right, what I'm going for.
I'm going to go for that.
His mother supported him the whole way. Wow, he's crazy. He's crazy. This was reported in the press. The public were outraged. They had waited nearly 2 years at this point to see Santa Claus punished for robbing a bank.
Do you really want that in the press? Yes, we executed Santa Claus today.
That's what they wanted. Now he's trying to make out he's insane. Protesters start gathering outside the jail, calling for justice. Now, Ratcliffe was apparently so good at pretending he was crazy that he convinced some jailers he was crazy and that they needed to feed him and bathe him and toilet him. So some jailers came in, and when the door was open, he snuck out and tried to escape by shooting one jailer on another level and fighting another one by pistol whipping them.
Right.
That jailer managed to overpower him and get him back into his cell. The jailer that he shot died. Yeah. So not so crazy.
No, he's not getting out of that one.
Back in the cell. And they're like, for God's sake. The next morning, the prison staff were confronted by an angry mob of around 1,000 people. Whether all 1,000 people were after Ratliff or just saw some people when they were going to work going, hey, this looks like
this
fun.
This looks like fun. Yeah, absolutely. I like a mob.
But a group of them smashed through into the jail.
Mm.
They broke into the jail, overpowered the guards, made their way to Ratliff's cell. They dragged him out onto the street, stripped him naked. Mm. They tied a rope around his neck and they hoisted him into the air.
Mm.
The rope broke. Ratliff fell. A second rope was found. And then Ratcliff was lynched. He was hung high in the middle of the high street. And his last words apparently were, forgive me, boys.
Wow, okay. DL.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lynching.
Street justice.
Santa Claus the bank robber was dead.
Yeah.
He was left hanging for some time before the day. A few hours before his body was cut down and then apparently placed outside a furniture store.
Right.
For people to view.
Nice.
Because people wanted to.
People want to see these things, absolutely.
Before he was whisked away and given a burial of sorts.
Ooh.
In total, 6 people died as a result of Santa Claus's bank robbery.
What bad Santa.
Including 3 of the robbers. That technically counts. No one was ever convicted of the lynching and the hanging of Ratliff. No one was ever given the $5,000, though.
No.
If that's what they were seeking, no one ever received it.
Yeah.
Officially. And a plaque now marks the site of the robbery, reminding people of the time Santa tried to ruin Christmas.
Oh, very good.
And that is the story of the Santa Claus bank robbery.
That's just a terrifying story.
A lot to it, isn't
there? There's a lot going on there, absolutely. Yeah.
You didn't expect the end, did you?
No, I did not at all. I was not seeing lynching coming. No,
lynching
I wasn't seeing
coming
that.
In there. Yeah, we're going to hang him. We're going to hang him in the street.
Yeah.
And they did.
Absolutely.
They did.
So, okay. Right.
Well, with that bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Do you want a final cocktail,
Well,
Nick?
I think I need something jolly after all that.
Do you dare? Because this one is
my one. Oh, God.
And I have high hopes.
Really?
I really do.
I'm also afraid.
Don't be.
Okay.
I think it's time for me to go and shake up a storm, so we'll see you in a minute.
Oh, God.
And we're back.
Well, it looks creamy.
We have a creamy Christmassy cocktail
creamy
to end the episode.
Thing.
This is called a White Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I have no idea how this is going to come out.
Okay. That's,
but.
That is concerning.
It's Christmas.
It is.
It's creamy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Dare I? Okay. Chocolatey. I don't like being on the other end of this.
What do you think?
It's actually quite nice. I know there was cream in there.
Yes, because I asked you.
Because you said, buy some cream, and then I bought cream, and then you came over and said, I didn't think you would buy cream, so I bought more cream. And so now I've got 400 tons of cream. So there's cream in there, but apart from that, I have no idea what's in there. So,
What are you getting?
Is there some sort of brandy, cognac-y thing going on?
Nope.
Is there a bourbon-y thing going on?
Nope. I'm so happy.
Yeah, see? So I blame the three cocktails I've had prior to this has dulled my taste buds.
I would probably be making the same assumptions.
Okay. Is there chocolate in there?
No.
Is there coffee?
Yes.
Right, okay.
There is some of the coffee liqueur.
Yes. So I've got the coffee.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get the base spirit because it's one you'd never think of, but it's so common. It's a very common.
Is it a vodka?
It's vodka.
Okay.
The espresso liqueur, coffee liqueur it calls for, is a Galliano.
Right, yes. I've got the Mr. Blacks.
You've got the Mr. Blacks. So what I did is add a tiny, tiny bit of Galliano in there.
Okay.
I have not researched this as in Galliano had vanilla in it, but I thought, okay, fair enough. You know what? I just went with it.
Just went with it.
Very small amount.
Okay.
It has some sweetness to it. And again, I had to improvise here a little bit. It calls for gingerbread syrup.
Okay, that I don't have.
You don't have, but I got ginger and I got honey syrup and I combined the two.
Okay.
So to take the edge off, so maybe a gingerbread syrup would have been more cinnamony and stuff like that. And you have the single cream, but you also have another ingredient that you have not guessed.
Is it something herby?
You could call it that.
I could call it that.
It is nothing that's on your shelf.
Okay.
It's got mincemeat in it.
Oh, really?
Yes, as in the mince pie filling. It calls for a bar spoon per serving of mincemeat.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
And that gives it all the extra flavour. And it does really taste chocolatey, doesn't it?
It really does. Oh, it tastes really gingery. I bought some ginger bitters.
I've just added
a couple of drops, and actually, it really gives it a bit of warmth.
So that is the White Christmas. I thought, as soon as I saw it, I thought, what can I do to really mess Nick up?
And you've given me another mince pie.
I've given you another mince pie, because you have to have a mince pie with it.
I'm really happy. So, yeah.
It's dessert. We've had three courses. This is the dessert round.
Yeah. Ground.
There you go.
Bring it on. I'm expecting one of those on Christmas Day.
What do you think of the Santa Claus robbery, then?
I mean, it's ludicrous. And also ended particularly harshly.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for what initially seems to be a fairly jolly, mad, crazy heist, actually quite a large number of people died.
Six people died, which is more
which
than
is
enough.
Which is quite
more
large.
Than enough.
Yeah, exactly. More than enough. And it was all very, very jolly and silly until, yes, they start blasting away at police officers in an alleyway. And that's less good.
They never thought that they'd have to have an escape route, and that's where
absolutely.
People died.
They never assumed that they would have to take such actions, but obviously they did, and they were willing to do so. So, I mean, and then taking young women as human shields and things like that. So it's all a bit shitty, really.
The Oldsmobile bit where they hijack the car where the family are out just on Christmas.
Oh, that's brilliant. Like, and the lad takes the car. Takes the keys. Good for him.
Well, they hadn't thought it through.
Yeah.
And really, whether they left that loop behind thinking someone else had packed it.
I think that's probably more than likely. I mean, the whole thing smacks of they had such a vision or a plan of how this was going to go.
Yeah.
And obviously, within 30 seconds, it stopped going the way they thought it was going to go. And they obviously hadn't planned for any other eventuality. We need a plan B and a plan C and a plan F, just in case these
plan
other
F
things
is the most important
go wrong. And they obviously didn't have any of that. They just assumed it was going to go exactly textbook as they thought it was.
Do you think during this planning stage of this robbery, they had a drinks break each time, like, sort of all the way through it, and then they worked up
very possibly
to a big old White Christmas,
big old White Christmas at the end, and a whole big old stash of mince pies. Never know. It certainly seems like it.
There is an image when I was writing the episode, and it's such a small one, but where they spend Christmas Day just in the wilderness, and again they would have been freezing and injured, but them all eating oranges, and the hostage was like, can I have an orange, please? And they just made the point, which they refused to share with the hostage. It was like, It's Christmas. Yeah, come on. Please, sir, I want some more.
And how many children were probably traumatised for life by this? I can only imagine the sort of the papers at the time, sort of like Santa Claus lynched by town by mob
exactly.
type thing.
That's what they said, is that the Santa Claus robber is dead.
So children waking up and seeing that in the paper, it's like,
Santa. Oh.
So yeah, generations of Texans sort of traumatized by that, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of children screaming and crying that Christmas. But that's what we like on this show.
Is it? Screaming children. That's what Christmas is all about.
Nick is fully shoving a mince pie into his face. He literally tilted it up, the foil little casing, and just sort of planted it in his face there.
Probably.
There were crumbs in it. There's still crumbs, mate. They're all in your beard and your face. You weren't elegant in that. It's great. I approve of it wholeheartedly.
Not. Really not elegant, no.
No, it was crumb. I needed them in my beard.
Yeah. They're for snacks for later.
Oh, you like Mr. Twit,
aren't
you?
Yeah, Mr. Twit. Got a bit of mince pie, there's a sausage in there somewhere, it's great.
There is still time if you have favourite Christmas short stories that you want us to tell on Patreon, and if you are a cyanide connoisseur, want us to cover on PC Morris, we would be delighted to cover them. We have another really good Christmas story that I am compelled to tell, maybe on Boxing Day. For the people in England or UK, Boxing Day, that's a thing. In America, they're going, what is that?
Is Boxing Day not a thing in America?
No.
Oh, I did not know that.
No. Apparently not.
Fair enough.
According to all the sitcoms I've watched.
Oh, I did not know that.
And also the Simpsons song. Merry Christmas, old England. Da, da, da. What the hell's the deal with Boxing Day?
It was German, apparently, originally, wasn't it?
Was it? Well, everything's German. Well, look, all of the Christmas traditions in England are from Germany because Victoria
dear old Albert.
Was shining Albert. And then no, Boxing
Day was originally the time where you got your presents.
Was
Hence
it, though?
Boxes.
Was it, though?
Well, that's what I heard. That's what I had
No,
come
I heard
to
that
believe.
That was the day that the staff took the day off.
I think that's also that.
Yeah, and then there were boxes
and
everywhere.
Yes. And then, boxes. There's no staff, but the boxes are away. Who will clean up all these boxes?
Who will clean up all these boxes and stop having boxing matches in the middle of it? The amount of bullshit that is about Boxing Day. Like, you have a box on it and then you have a boxer dog who comes in and greets you on Christmas morning. But there will be more Christmas tales and japes on Patreon while we have our little Christmas breaks. We will not be back next week, but we'll be back in the new year to bring you more horrifying tales and crimes and all sorts of japes. If you have more suggestions of stories that we can cover in 2024 and more things that we can do, please send us suggestions. Jump on the comments of this episode. Tell us your thoughts, your theories, your feelings, your musings. Have you been scarred by these tales of Santa Claus? Has it ruined your Christmas? And if so, well, we aim to please. But most importantly, wherever you are, mix up all of the cocktails.
All of them, just all of them. So what do we have? We had a Papa Noel.
Papa Noel. Very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated. Very nice. Christmas margarita.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
was good. That was good as well. And a White Christmas and a mince pie.
Yeah.
Eat them, drink them, have them all.
We had three courses.
It's great.
It was marvellous.
Very good. All the recipes will be out, potentially. They will be. Mix them all up in one big bucket and have a grand old time.
Or just send us pictures of the cocktails you are enjoying this Christmas, whether it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and also however you celebrate the season. Just please send us pictures of whatever you are doing on social media. Tag us in that. We'd love to see how you are having a lovely time at this time of year. Christmas doesn't always have to be a time full of jollity and japes. So wherever you are, you can always listen to us and know that we are here for you and we love you and we hope you are having a wonderful time, whatever you are doing. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisoner's Cabinet. We will see you next year. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Boy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.